Hello, welcome to Inside the Weight Room, a podcast where we talk about everything to do with the fitness industry, whether that's social media influencers to training regimens. We cover everything on this podcast for beginners and experts. Join us on this journey as we interview many different individuals regarding their training experiences, opinions, and many, many more. So sit tight and enjoy the podcast. Hello, and welcome back to Inside the Weight Room, where we deep dive into everything in the world of fitness. Here with me today is Matt Green. How's it going, Matt?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, are you?
Yeah, not too bad. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank
Like
you
I
very
just
much.
said, where we deep dive into literally everything relating to the gym. Just to give a bit of an introduction, what type of training do you do and how long have you been training for?
Well, I've been training for about going on 2 years now. I started in 2023. I had a bit of a sports accident, so I just started going to kind of keep myself active while I wasn't playing, and then since then it's kind of grown into kind of an interest in bodybuilding and that kind of style of training.
So would you say you venture more into the bodybuilding side of training?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I respect, power lifters and strong men and all that kind of stuff. But I enjoy the kind of the aesthetic side of it, making, I enjoy looking good and training to do that.
Yeah, and I guess I've had a couple of guests on as well that I thankfully had different training regimens. So obviously we get a nice little wide range of stuff to talk about, so every episode is going to be different, especially for the viewers. What is it that made you pick bodybuilding over the strongman, powerlifting, all those different types?
I think it's the variation to it. Obviously, a lot of bodybuilders will tell you all about bulking and cutting, and I think there's a nice amount of variation in the style. While you're on a bulk, you lift heavier. A lot of people say lower reps and high weight, and you're eating as much as you can, and then on a cut, you're doing the complete opposite. You're lowering the weight, you'll feel a bit weaker, but it's all about balance and enjoying both sides of it.
Yeah, and I guess obviously with bodybuilding as well, you do get the benefits of looking good as well. Because, like, I mean, if you look at, say, strongman training, typically, I mean, obviously it's always down to opinion, but in terms of aesthetics, obviously bodybuilding is a place to go because that's what it's all about. Whereas powerlifting and, say, strongman, you're gonna have some like builds that aren't necessarily typically like pleasing to look at, or like in terms of like when you look at someone on, say, on stage or something, you're not going, wow, what a great physique, is like, damn, they're strong.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about your priorities and
Exactly.
what you're training for.
Yeah, so with all that in mind, what would you say is like your favorite split to do? Because obviously there's so many different types that you can do for bodybuilding. Which
Of
one
course.
what do you like to do?
I mean, my split at the moment, I'm doing a 4 day split. So I roll. I basically just do rest days whenever I feel like I need one. But I split everything up into 4 days. So I'm doing a chest and shoulders day, where I, do some kind of pressing movement, and then a fly, and then for shoulders, some kind of press and a lat raise. And then on back days, I'll do a lot, lat pull downs, rows. Occasionally, I'll chuck in some shrugs for traps or those kind of things, and then rear delts as well. And then arms and legs. So arm day, biceps, triceps, and leg days, quads, hamstrings, all that kind of stuff.
What would you say is your favorite day? Because obviously I know it's typically unfavored of a leg day with a lot of people. That seems to be something that's not favored.
I actually quite enjoy leg days. I think they're underrated.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they're difficult. Legs are such a huge muscle group and it takes everything out of you to train them, but which is probably why a lot of people don't like it, but I
Yeah.
mean, I think leg days are the most rewarding. When you come out of the gym after a leg day, you feel like you've made some progress. And when you can actually see that progress, that's it's a good
Yeah.
feeling.
And I guess as well, when it comes down to with legs, the inability to walk after as well is also a sign of you've worked hard. So I guess you've got that like side to it as
Exactly.
well of also feeling it 4 days later and you're still like, oh, my legs are still a little bit jelly.
Yeah, which is why a lot of people look for gyms to downstairs, because that's killer.
It's leg day is a it's definitely an interesting one to say the least. Because obviously, like when you get more, like say the girls that go to the gym, they typically favor legs, as studies have shown. Obviously, all comes down to personal preferences and what your goals are. But
Yeah,
obviously,
exactly.
when it comes down to guys, obviously it's a lot more common for guys to skip legs.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a stereotype, but I would definitely say there's less people that do skip than it's become a joke kind of, I think, where people say they skip legs when they don't actually. I think obviously it's possibly less enjoyable, but if you're actually skipping legs, then you've got to put your ideas up, really.
I mean, I had a chat with the guy who I had on the previous episode, Aaron Martin, who does like social media work, and we were talking about like how kind of social media affects like essentially like views and outlooks on gym. Like stuff happens within the gym, so like leg day, obviously being one of them. Obviously, you've got the stereotype of how girls only really do legs and guys never do legs. What do you think, like with social media, what do you think that how much of an influence that has over the gym culture?
I mean, I think expectations have changed of people since social media. I think once upon a time you could have what would now be considered a mid physique and look incredible, and anyone will come up to you and go, you look crazy. But nowadays it's gotten to a point where you only really get traction on social media if you have a literally insane physique. And the people that aren't getting as much fame and aren't getting as much interest on social media are the people with realistic physiques. And of course, there's the whole gray area of performance enhancing drugs, steroids, testosterone, and a lot of people claim that they don't take them when they do. And that can cause a lot of misinformation regarding what's really naturally achievable. And that can cause a lot of people to feel inadequate when they probably have, perfectly adequate physique.
I mean, it, again, in that last episode as well, we also talked about, like, say, social media impacts on, like, say, the stuff like body dysmorphia and all that type of stuff. And I actually referenced how in the first Spider-Man film with Tobey Maguire, how when he first turns into Spider-Man, his physique would now be classed as mid or average or something like that. Whereas back then, that's like a superhero's body. That's someone with like enhanced abilities and I find that crazy in just a matter of about 2 decades, 20 years. It's crazy that influence that certain apps have over that certain stuff.
Yeah, I think it's definitely there's obviously bodybuilding is a growing sport, and well, I mean, it's been around a long time, but it's really only in the past 10 years maybe that it's really gained a lot of popularity in young men. You see a lot of guys idolizing people like Chris Bumstead and Urs Kalasinski, Ramon Dino, and these guys are genuinely on another level. They are the definition of superhuman, and what they take on stage is not what they look like in day-to-day life. They are extremely low body fat. They're extremely dehydrated. They look insane because they're not in a healthy body state. But if you don't know that, then you're looking at these guys and you're going, oh, that's my dream physique. And you're trying to achieve something that's really not maintainable.
I mean, we also talked about the that viral video that went round of that guy in America who wakes up at like 4 in the morning and does all that like workout routine, and we're just talking about how one unrealistic that type of routine is, as well as how unrealistic that physique is. Like that's competition ready, like cut, or at least in terms of body fat anyway, that's competition level, like bodybuilding type stuff. And like I've seen like murals in gyms where you look at these massive pictures on the walls and it's like, oh, that's a crazy physique, but then you look at it and it's like that's not a realistic thing to really be showing, because one is competition, like water levels, obviously body fat percentages, and it obviously creates that unnecessary like not so much pressure, but you know that pressure on certain people where it's like, oh, if I want to look like that, I've got to, you know, do this and this. But so like you said, it's not realistic, it's not healthy either.
Yeah, I think it's important to get your information from the right places. You can really fall into a habit of watching people on social media and consuming the wrong kind of media, and then getting into a habit of feeling inadequate in yourself. You know, these videos where people are showing their morning routine and they're waking up at 4 a.m. and they're doing all this work and going to the gym and doing a run before 9 a.m. and you can look at that and go, yeah, I want to do that, but that's not, like you say, it's not realistic, and it's not probably what these social media influencers actually do on a day-to-day basis.
Plus, it
Yeah,
does
it
also help them having like managers and assistants and
exactly, yeah.
all that. So, like, it's just not a real life thing to do to have all that accessible and also look that certain way. And then also say, if you're not like this, you're doing something wrong. But then obviously, that goes onto the mental health side of the gym of, you know, why are you pushing people to be this certain way when realistically it's not. It's not ideal for anyone to kind of be like that, especially like when you're living your day-to-day life. It's a very demanding thing. But going on to the next point with social media, do you think it's been a positive for the fitness industry, or do you think it sways more negative?
I guess you could say go either way. It's definitely been positive in introducing people to the gym. I think 2025, we're seeing so much more interest in the gym and so many more people and different kinds of people that are going to the gym. I feel like you know, women have been encouraged more to go to the gym and achieve their body goals. And you know, you're getting young guys in the gym now that you know, but young ages, possibly even at ages that they really shouldn't be there, but you know, there's interest, and it is because of social media. It's because of these people going out and they're saying, you know, the gym is really good for you, and it's they're showing that they are in a good place in their life, and you know, they're contributing that to their fitness. And I absolutely believe that having good fitness and going to the gym can put you in a better place in life, and I agree with that, but then there's also the side of it where, well, like we've just talked about, where people are possibly putting a unrealistic lifestyle on the internet, and then you watch that and you expect your life to be like that, but it's not always going to be like that.
And I think as well, when it comes to just like essentially social media in general, you've got to be looking at the right places, like what we just talked about with the certain information and I guess you're the influencers that you're paying attention to, like that's what we've talked about many times before. Sam Sulek, obviously, in my opinion, is a very good influence on the gym stuff because obviously he's quite informational, but he also doesn't really bring a lot of attention to in like performance enhancing drugs. Whereas obviously you get other influencers like say that Toji, who I've mentioned obviously in the past two episodes as well, who fully puts out there the use of his steroids, and obviously despite it being a good thing, he's quite open and he's informative about being open with it. If he's in like encouraging young people to start taking like say Tren or whatever it is, testosterone, especially at young age, it can be dangerous because you're going to get that small crowd of people that might be like, oh yeah, I'll do it without actually thinking about it, because very impressionable people hear something and they go and go straight away and do it. So I guess, have you got
Yeah,
any
exactly. It's all
like,
about,
yeah, go on.
yeah, it's all about kind of understanding the stigma around it all, and if you have a good understanding of the science behind it and what these people that you're watching are actually doing with their lives, then it's that's how you learn how to move forward with yours. You know, I mean, I watched a great video from Chris Plumstead, who obviously is 6-time world champion, classic physique, and he explained his use of performance enhancing drugs and how he has a team that teaches him about the science behind it, and they monitor every single part of his body's reaction, and it's all done extremely scientifically and extremely well managed, but not everyone can do that, so it's important to understand what you can actually do in your own life.
Yeah, and I guess obviously that goes down to his ability to be able to do that based on his platform, but also obviously his financial package that
Exactly.
comes with it as well. Like if you've got essentially a blank check to put towards that, but also the availability to be able to do that for your job, because obviously with him, obviously it's his main job. It's, you're going to be able to do those things and take the time for that type of stuff. Whereas, say, the average Joe type person maybe can't do that, and they see someone take tren or testosterone, and it's like, oh yeah, let me get onto that without realizing that these guys have done blood work after blood work after blood work, doctor visits and everything like that. But obviously that stuff isn't talked about unless you go out and do your own research, so.
Yeah, I mean, every other aspect of their lifestyle is optimized to be done the right way to suit that. They're eating the right foods. They're, like you say, their blood work is perfect. They work out the right ways. They get enough cardio in. They're doing everything that they can to make sure that their body can handle that.
Who would you say, in your opinion, is like essentially some of the better influences to pay attention to, or is there any that you particularly follow yourself?
But like I say, I watch a lot of Chris Bumstead's videos. He's very informational. He shows what can be brought out in bodybuilding. He shows the best and the worst sides of it. He's talked about how it's had such a massive impact on his mental health, and he's kind of grown in his life now at the age of 29, where he's learned a lot from it. He's been at the lows and he's been at the highs, and he can now retire gracefully and move forward with his life and his kids and his family and be at a stage where he's happy. And along with that, then it's also important to look at the young guys, and because a lot of people that are watching these social media videos are young and they're aspirational and they've got their own desires in life, and you've got to watch people who are kind of in the same boat, like Sam Sulek, and these young Gymshark athletes that are showing what life can be like for a young person who trains that way, because they're realistic and they show, especially people like Sam Sulek, they show the real insides, the diet and the, he does videos of his a full day of eating, and he shows his way to the gym and his way back and everything outside of just that gym environment. You see a lot of people doing these videos and they're just in the gym and then the video ends. You don't see what their life is like outside of that. So you've got to get a balance of that, but also understanding what people's lives are like.
Yeah, I mean, I guess when it comes to pretty much anyone that goes to the gym, I think the majority will always understand that the actual gym part is like it's in the minority of what importance there is to do. Obviously, it's important to go obviously and train, but then you've also got the factors of nutrition and rest and
Exactly, yeah.
many other external factors that may come into play, such as like I say, a disability. And obviously, a lot of these people probably won't even highlight the fact they may have a disability. Obviously, they're well within their rights to, but I mean, look at Eddie Hall, for example. Obviously, he's got that genetic mutation where his body can just keep on growing and growing and growing. And if you don't know that, and you're like, oh yeah, let me just take that because I want to get as big as him. But it's like he is like a one in like a million person with that genetic
Exactly.
mutation. You don't know what these people are going through, so it is important to, I guess, show certain things if you're going to preach about it or say certain things, because otherwise you're going to be preaching something that's not fully crystal clear, and then people come out and obviously they are well within their rights to, but if then someone then goes and say takes steroids or whatever and they come back and be like, oh well, he did it, but then obviously it's like, well, you didn't know this, you didn't know
Yeah,
this, and you didn't know that.
I think that's the whole. I mean, it's not just the gym. It's everything that people put on social media. It could be any category of platform or content. You have to be, if you have a platform and you are influencing people, you have to be black and white. You can't leave gray area. It can influence people into doing things that they're not fully involved on.
Well, moving on to a bit more direct towards yourself. In terms of your gym experience, what has been, I guess, one of the main things you've taken out of going to the gym? Because obviously everyone has different thoughts of when they've been to the gym, and obviously some people don't enjoy it. What would you say is the most positive thing you can say about the gym has done for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think the gym's definitely an acquired thing. You've got to learn to enjoy it. It's not something that you can force yourself to do. You have to be in the right mindset to go and actually tell yourself you're going to enjoy it instead of, you see a lot of people that go to the gym to lose weight or to get in better shape because they're unhappy with their body, but they're not in the right frame of mind yet. They're going and not enjoying it and telling themselves that they've got to do it. It's not something that they implement into their routine as something that they enjoy. It's not a hobby for them. It's a necessity or even a punishment. So I think it's definitely difficult to get into the gym unless you're ready to make that leap and dedicate, a good chunk of your day, pretty much every single day to it. But once you can do that, it's one of the most enjoyable things you can do is, you're changing your body for the better. You're bettering yourself physically and mentally. I mean, exercise does release endorphins in your brain. It releases serotonin and dopamine. You get that boost of energy from exercising. So going to the gym, whether you do cardio, whether you lift weights, whether you do a spin class, whatever you do, you're getting chemical, positive chemical reactions in your brain. So it's you can bet your life 100%.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I would like to pick up on is the fact that you said that you got to be the right mindset to not even just start gym, but also go to the gym. Because if you're going there and expecting a quick fix, you're going to be waiting a long time. So just like those quotes that say, "Enjoy the journey," because once you're at the destination, then it's over. And one of the things I particularly like about the gym is the fact that it's never really a closed race. Like, even if I reach my goal, say if that's, say, benching 100 kg or squatting 200 type stuff, no matter what, I might go 6 months down the line from now and go, you know what, I kind of want to change, or I'm going to change my regimen from bodybuilding to strongman and I want to compete, or I might decide to go into competing in bodybuilding, which is obviously still very similar, but it's a completely different approach. Because then you've got to factor in when your competitions are, what diet you're eating, and then all that side of things. And if you're not in it for the long term, then maybe gym isn't for you. Obviously, that is obviously completely down to your goals and et cetera, et cetera. Like, if you want to go to the gym and just obviously mess about, as long as obviously it's safe, go ahead. But in terms of, like, if you're wanting to say lose weight or build muscle, it's not a short term thing. You've got to put in the hard work and dedication, which is obviously what we like to highlight with this podcast, is all the benefits, but also downsides of going to gym. It's not a quick fix, but that's also a positive. It's all the way, well, for me, it's all about how you see it and take into your own head, so you can be like, oh, this is the case, I want to do that.
Yeah, exactly. I think like you say, you've got to be ready to commit a large chunk of your time to it. Going back on what we were talking about social media, I think there's a lot of people that put these videos out and they're like how to get abs in 6 weeks or how to get your dream summer body in this amount of time. And that's just to get clicks. That's not realistic and it's not, you can't go to the gym expecting to be shredded in 6 weeks or even in 12 weeks, even in a year, you can't have those expectations of yourself because when you don't hit those expectations, you'll just feel bad about yourself. You have to go into it with the frame of mind of this is a long-term goal that I've got. I'm going to do what it takes to reach it. And if my progress isn't linear and I don't, some days I'll have bad days and if I'm trying to lose weight, some days I'll put on weight and that's fine. You just got to commit to, over a set period of time, reaching those goals, and it's not going to happen quick.
And I think as well, like adding to what you just said there, you don't know when real life also gets in the way. And obviously, say with yourself, was it like last year? Obviously, yeah, you broke a part of your knee or something like that, which completely disturbed your training. And obviously you started going to the gym to obviously keep fit while having this injury, but obviously that got in the way of especially a leg day, but you know, it also got in the way of everything else, and anything like that can happen in the blink of an eye. And you know, they get abs in 6 weeks. What if you can't go to the gym because you're in hospital, or you know, your car's broke down so you can't get there? But again, that going back to obviously the social media thing, when it comes to the get abs in 6 weeks, they don't mention anything to do with diet as well, which is essentially like it's like a 60-40 percentage. Like nutrition is almost everything when it comes to gym, because you could go to the gym 2 hours a week, 7 days a week. Whether that's optimal or not for what you're after, that's debatable. However, you've also got to be getting the protein and the carbs to be able to, say, put the muscle on and have the energy to be able to go to the gym.
You know, like the 100%, the lifting is the least important part of bodybuilding. It's you can, like you say, you can go to the gym 2 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it means nothing if you're not hitting your protein goals, if you're not, or if you're trying to cut down, if you're not in a calorie deficit, if you're not getting the right amount of carbs to have the energy, if you're not hydrating properly, if you're not getting enough sleep. The lift is really the least important part, and that's not what people don't give you that information. People go, oh, just follow my training routine and you'll look like me. But that's not realistic.
Because again, everyone's got different genetics. So people that have crazy, like you say, chest genetics are able to build a really nice, like say, big chest. You might not have, you might not be blessed with that. And again, that's also another thing that comes into genetics is probably even more important than like nutrition. Because obviously, if you haven't got the genetics to, I don't know, build muscle normally, you're not going to be able to build muscle. So, but obviously, then it's
I
just being
mean,
realistic with certain things, with, I guess, not making any excuses like, oh, I'm eating loads when realistically, you're not. So.
I mean, like you say about genetics, it's such a huge impact, and it can make people feel bad about themselves because they might have, you know, narrow clavicles or short biceps when they want long biceps, but that's not something that you've got to get bogged down by because you see people with, quote unquote, less than ideal genetics on these big stages. You know, the likes of like Wesley Vissers, who's, you know, Arnold champion in classic physique bodybuilding, but he doesn't have that really slim waist for the V taper of his lats. He doesn't have, you know, I mean, he's got crazy chest genetics, but he, you know, he's no C-bomb, but he's on the same stage and he's on the same level. And he doesn't have those crazy genetics, but he's worked hard for where he's at.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's all about perspectives, isn't it? Where you can't really be bummed out about what you don't have and just kind of go with what you've got and build on those. Because I guess the beauty with bodybuilding is you're building your body and you're going to have stronger parts, you're going to have weaker parts, but you just got to work with it and go from there. Because again, if you haven't got it, you haven't got it. You can't just magically get, say, longer biceps all of a sudden. It's just not how it works.
Yeah, exactly. I
But
think that's like the most important thing is to realize that lifting is for everyone. You've just got to be informed and open-minded and dedicated.
yeah,
But there isn't
100%.
a single person that lifting isn't for. You can't put yourself out because you don't have the right genetics or you don't have the right lifestyle or whatever it is that you think might mean that you can't lift or you can't exercise. You absolutely can, and you know, if that's something that you want to do, then if you put your mind to it, then you can do it.
I mean, this kind of links into my next topic of discussion, which is supplements. Because as anyone that goes to the gym knows, that supplements do have an influence on a lot of things, depending on what you do take. Do you take any supplements yourself, or?
Well, I mean, I have protein powders and creatine and branched-chain amino acids, all that kind of stuff, and it really depends on. I mean, I try and take my creatine as regularly as possible, but the protein and the stuff like that is really, at the end of the day, what it is what it says on the tin. It's a supplement. It's you take it if you need to. If you don't hit your protein goal for that day, then you go, okay, well, I'll make a protein shake. And what people don't realize about supplements is that they're there to well, supplement a healthy, balanced diet. It's the same as you don't take vitamin C gummies if you're perfectly, your vitamin C level's perfectly fine. You take them if you're vitamin C deficient. So if you're not getting enough protein in your natural diet, then you take the supplements.
I mean, like what we talked about earlier, you can find this out by just going to the doctors and just getting a basic blood work done and just find out what you're lacking. And
Exactly, yeah.
that can be recommended for anyone. That's not even just people that go to the gym. Anyone, if anything, I'd probably recommend it just going to the doctors and being like, hi, I'd like to get a blood work done just to see what I'm lacking in. And then you can see what you're lacking. Go to the shop, get some multivitamins, or obviously the actual vitamin itself, and Bob's your uncle, you're sorted, and you'll feel better in yourself and feel more energetic, etc.
Yeah, it never kills to understand your body on a level that you can't see visually.
Exactly. And the beauty of obviously the UK is we've got the NHS where we'll be able to get a blood work done for free.
Yeah,
So
exactly, yeah.
it's and you get a doctor's visit. So if you need to go there anyway, why not get a two in one? So, but again, supplements are a very interesting one for me because obviously, again, going back to the social media, there's so much in that realm where people push certain things and it doesn't explain the side effects or the downsides.
Yeah,
So I
and I think
want,
that comes down to really just sponsorships.
yeah.
It's people want to make a living doing social media, and to do that, you have to get sponsorships. And in an environment such as the gym, the thing that you can market the easiest is supplements and equipment, but mostly it's
Yeah,
supplements.
because anyone can just go out to, I don't know, B&M or Tesco and go get some supplements, whereas not everyone can go out and afford to buy machines or,
Yeah.
accessories and stuff like that. I mean, look at, say, for example, MyProtein, the amount of just supplements they do in themselves. Then you've got all the others that do that type of stuff, but a lot of them as well, if you look at, say, the labels, which is also very much recommended and important. Sometimes they can be quite deceitful. Like I had a chat with Aaron March on the last episode about how there was a recent study that came out. I can't remember what company it was, but they had a creatine gummies, and all of a sudden there was testing on them, and turns out there's very, very, very little creatine in them. So they were qu obviously
Yeah.
quoting them to be these vitamin gummies, these creatine gummies, sorry, but when in fact they had very, very little and not what they were being advertised as.
Yeah, and I
So
mean, like, it's all about reading the small print. You see big tubs of protein, and it's like 45 grams per whatever, and then you look at the fine print, and it goes, oh, well, actually, in the serving that you're going to have in one day, there's only 15, and you read the big 45 on the front. You go, that's insane. That's double what most protein powders have in a serving. But that's not per serving. And the fine print underneath says per 3 servings, which you're not supposed to have in a day. It's all about understanding what, actually looking at the tub and reading it and understanding what it's going to give to you and what it has in it. And if there's anything that you're allergic to, or there's certain people that can't have certain flavors and all that kind of stuff. It's all about understanding what it has in it and whether it's actually going to be beneficial to you.
100%. Some people like it. I'm quite a fan of it, I won't lie. But again, personal preference.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
going on to a bit more of a fun topic, what would you say are your unpopular opinions about gym? Like just as an example, Aaron on the previous episode mentioned how he hates people that either sit on their phones and or make noise when working out. So he, the grunters, the ones that just lug the weights about, make loads of noise for no reason. I don't know if that's an unpopular opinion. I feel like it might be quite a common opinion, but what's an example of that for you?
I mean, I it's becoming a more common opinion, I think, but I'm not a big fan of the way personal training works. I
Okay.
think like a lot of personal trainers aren't as qualified as they could be. And they, I mean, obviously, there's always the outliers that are really dedicated to their clients and make sure that they're putting the right plans together. But a lot of personal trainers are out there to just make a living and get the money out of it, which is the same as any other job. But when you're working with other people and their goals and their bodies, it's important to make sure that you're doing it the right way. And I think a lot of personal trainers are maybe not as dedicated as they could be, and they're not giving the right information. You know, I go to the gym and I see personal trainers with middle-aged clients, and they're telling them to do supersets of the entire gym, and they're doing 30 burpees and then going straight into a set of 20 reps of shoulder press. And it's, you look at them and you go, well, what is this achieving for that person? That's not.
Because I mean, there's so many more like different ways you can train, and like, as we know, in terms of bodybuilding and or say powerlifting, every obviously training and regimen will have a different way to do about it. But in excess, like say reps, sometimes there's just no need for it. You can do it in such short time by just upping the weight and doing lower reps, or if you that's not your thing, doing lighter the weight, higher reps. But there's no like, I can't even think about what they were trying to do if it were including burpees and shoulder press into the same thing.
Yeah, I mean it's a lot of older people come into the gym and they go, well, I don't want to get bulky. I just want to tone up and I want to look a certain way. I want to
Be a
achieve
bit
more
more
muscle
aesthetic.
definition without getting bigger. But that's not really achievable in a short period of time if that comes with the bulking up phase and then the going down phase. That's how the body
It's the
works. It's
understanding.
thermodynamic. It's a lot of personal trainers play into that, and they'll go, oh, well, yeah, if you don't want to bulk up and you just want to tone your muscle, then do 30 reps every set. And that's simply not how it works. But
No. I
personal
mean,
trainers will give that information to their clients because they just want to get money out of them.
I think I actually had a conversation with a personal trainer myself. About a year and a half ago, I think it was. And he said to me, after a couple of months of training, he hopes that he doesn't see me no more, because at that point, I should be capable enough to go to the gym by myself without needing a personal trainer. And that is the, I think, the main goal of a personal trainer, to train someone to the point where they know how to do it themselves. And I had a mate back home who was wanting to start a gym. And I was like, oh, I'd love to help you, but obviously at university and available, I was like, get a personal trainer, but get one that like, understands. And I said, the first thing you need to make sure that their intention is to get you to essentially leave them as a client, because otherwise they're just there for the cash grab.
Yeah, exactly. Like a teacher doesn't keep kids in year six because, they don't teach them the wrong stuff to keep them in year six so that they keep paying for school. That's not, a teacher is teaching kids so that they will become intelligent enough to graduate and become the teacher or get a job somewhere else. It should be the same for a personal trainer where you're teaching someone to understand and have a level of understanding where they can go out into the world and do it on their own.
I mean, again, it all comes down to the safety part as well. When it comes down to mission, like, thankfully, obviously, I had obviously yourself, and a couple of our mutual friends, as well as my mate Harry, who was able to teach me a lot of the safety side of things and how to do things properly, so I weren't at risk of injuring myself. And then obviously I go off on my own every now and then and just experiment. But one thing I think people that are listening to this should also be aware of, the personal trainers are there to help you without actually being your personal trainer, because at the end of the day, they're a gym worker. They are still responsible for people in the gym to an extent. And if you're essentially a risk to yourself or others, it is also their job to standing and teach how to do it properly. Because if you have an accident, I mean, talk about it from the business side. If you have an accident and they're well aware of you, having a bit of dodgy form, could be a lawsuit for them. So they're also, it's within their benefits, and it's within their, I can't think of the word, but it would benefit them as well to also just go out of their way for 2 seconds and just teach someone or give them a pointer and a, Bosch. That's one more safe person, one more person closer to reaching the goals. And despite them not being your client, you've also got the reputation of now being a helpful person in that gym.
Yeah, exactly.
So it
I
is,
definitely think, yeah, I think that's probably my most unpopular opinion is that I think personal trainers need to be more aware of the impact that they're having on people.
yeah. Thank you for listening to Inside the Weight Room. We hope you enjoyed this episode and hope you join us in our journey with interviewing many, many more guests with many different experiences and opinions. New episodes are out every single week, so I hope you stay tuned. Thank you very much.